Okay, Ricky, we're ready for you, please.
Thank you, Daryl. Oh, as always, I just stand here and praise the Lord with every praise report that you bring. I am so excited to see how God is moving among our young people, especially, and that life is being honored and given the coverage it deserves. So praise God. Thank you. Okay, so turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. And tonight I'll be covering, it's, I think, part 3 in America's Red Sea Moment approaches, but part, the second section of AI. I started it last week. I still had quite a bit to cover. I might go over a few things just a little bit more tonight that I covered last week, but I feel like it was necessary to kind of bring it back in as a refresher. As I researched this topic, you know, I was feeling that presence of just darkness as I was researching it. And when I spoke to Mom, you know, we talked about this last weekend, actually, and she reminded me of the time that she sat outside Microsoft headquarters in Seattle years ago, and the Lord showed her that things were coming through technology that would that things were coming through technology. And, I mean, the Lord just sounded the alarm, and he began unpacking things to her at that time. And this was when we had first come up to Seattle, so I think 2012. And so this was, you know, 13 years ago. And, you know, the danger of what is going to be brought into technology, through technology, with AI, it really is a very serious subject. And there are different levels of it. I covered some of the more maybe inconsequential or beneficial levels of it last week. And that's just very contained and restrained levels of it. And today I'll expound a little bit more on that. But my heart today is to share two concerns. One is what the church should be doing in this hour. And then secondly is to share some concerns I have for the children. And so with that, we're going to go ahead and get started. Let me start with prayer first. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your goodness and your mercy. I thank you, Lord God, that you are here with us and that your covering is over us. We give you praise, Lord God, for the praise reports that we heard tonight, and we're so excited to see what you're doing. And we just rejoice and rejoice some more. I thank you for this, Lord. And Father, as we go to your word and as we cover this issue, I just ask that you would watch over each and every one of us, settle things around us, and that, Lord God, you would help us to discern what you are saying in this hour. And you will help us to be able to filter through even and apply what we are hearing tonight in our lives. And I thank you for that, Lord God. Lord, we just love you and bless you. We love you so much, and we're just so grateful to you. We're so grateful. In your precious name, amen. Okay, Ephesians 1, verse 17. For I always, now this is Paul to the Ephesians. For I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets, in the deep and intimate knowledge of him, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones. and so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and in this world, but also in the age and the world which are to come. That has a lot more meaning tonight after hearing Mom's message last night. And he has put all things under his feet and has appointed him the universal and supreme head of the church, a headship exercised through the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. For that body lives the full measure of him who makes everything complete and who fills everything everywhere with himself. Now, that passage is just a beautiful teaching. I've actually taught on that. Mom has taught on that. And I could really, really go into a deep teaching on that. But the reason I read that passage is because there's some points in here. We need to be praying these things over ourselves every day. We need to pray for wisdom and knowledge and revelation and understanding. We need to be praying that. We need to remember that Christ is the head of the church and we are the body. And so with that knowledge and understanding, whatever Christ would do, we are to implement in the earth. That's our call and our commission. And there are times when the church doesn't necessarily do that. And it's a really unfortunate thing when the church allows the culture to come in, which I talked about over the course of the last couple of weeks, allows the culture to come in and dictate how the church behaves. Because when we do that, the head, which is Christ, is no longer leading that church. And so as members of his body here, my heart and my passion is that we would stay on course with what God is calling us to do as intercessors, that we would stay on course and pray according to his will on behalf of our nation, on behalf of the church, and on behalf of our children. So that's why we began with that specific scripture. Okay, so on October 24th of 2001, just 6 weeks after 9/11, we handed our privacy over to the government out of fear. Now, we learned recently how much that opened us up to in terms of tracking, and we determined at that point never again would we sign our privacy over to the government. So, but today, we hand our privacy over for the sake of convenience. We do that every single day through the apps on our phone, and I talked about that in great detail last week. And we do it on our computers by accepting the terms of agreement. We hand access over out of convenience. And I think that that's something that we need to, as children of God and as parents and grandparents, we really need to think about in the days ahead. You know, it's our responsibility to protect our children. In 2020, during Chinese New Year, this mysterious virus was released by the globalists, first in China, as that was the fastest way to spread the virus. Their people traveled from around the world to China, and then back home. They do this annually. So it was an efficient way to spread this virus. No one understood it. The media hype was hysterical, and fear is really a powerful weapon. The globalists knew that they could manipulate the masses easily with intensive coverage and targeted blame. Fear compelled us to lock ourselves indoors, wear masks, gloves, stand 6 feet apart, and persecute anyone who didn't comply, including pastors, church leaders, educators, and so on. And today, many of those church leaders, having learned from that, having even complied, because no one understood what we were facing or the risks, have publicly and boldly declared, never again. In fact, I've heard them say that they will go to jail before they close their doors should another pandemic arise. So out of fear, we gave our privacy over. Out of convenience, we give more privacy over. Out of fear, again, they're able to control and manipulate the masses. And we've got to recognize that there are people in place. We pray about this all the time. The New World Order, the elite, the cabal, the globalists, whichever you want to refer to them as, there are people who would like to contain us as much as possible, contain and restrain the masses. Because if the masses recognize what's really going on, they'll fight back. So now, I think that we can, you know, most of us agree that fear is would make us do things that we wouldn't otherwise do. But with that in mind, fear, convenience, control, it's why I began with the scripture to pray and ask the Lord to give you wisdom, knowledge, discernment, and understanding, and recognize that you are the body of Christ, the church, and he is the head, and he has all power. Recognize you are part of that body, and there's far more authority and power within you than you realize. I just want to lay that groundwork. Now, I know that there are the creators of AI, you know, the Google execs and that sort of thing, who are out there and they're saying we're at a point of no return. And, you know, the more I come to understand this, the more I understand their perspective. But I believe that as the body of Christ, with Christ as the head, and as we are called to be the restrainers of evil, I believe, and by taking action, I think that's another important element here. I believe that we can slow this progression. I believe we can. And at the very least, we can slow its progression and influence on our families, on our children and our grandchildren. We can slow its progression and influence in the church. We can do that. For sure, we can do that. So, again, what is AI? AI is artificial intelligence. It's not sentient. It's artificial. Right now, there are programs written with integrated AI programming, and this programming employs machine learning. Traditional programming relies on programmers to define explicit scenario-specific logic and instruction. Machine learning, however, enables machines to learn autonomously and make decisions on its next steps without requiring detailed instructions or input for each task. That's not robots, okay? This is contained in a computer. It may be integrated with other computers, but it's contained. Machine learning is programmed to learn from patterns, trends, and behaviors, and it can then develop algorithms from deeper learning, if you will. AI machine learning uses past data and then trains models that can locate and analyze those patterns. And this is really a key because typical software cannot analyze patterns. AI can. By using AI software, you can predict potential outcomes down the line or determine deceptive patterns from the past and then generate reports based on those algorithms. This is what we see Dodge doing today. It's contained and it's restrained. It only has access to the parameters that it's been given, but it is machine learning, analyzing the data, the patterns, the trends within the systems that it is analyzing right now. And that is how they are uncovering corruption, deception, waste, and fraud. But what are the dangers? Well, we know that it's not sentient at this point, and used by experts in controlled environments, it is benefiting the nation. I had a vision, in fact, of this team back in 2022 or 23. We were praying over the economy. And the team, the Dodge team, I told mom about this, the Doge team. I told mom about this. I did not know what I was seeing. I was praying over the economy, and the Lord showed me this computer system that would bring a lot of correction and restoration, and I didn't recognize it. I'd never seen anything like that before. They were working with never-before-seen software to scour the financial realm of our government to protect us from a crash. And that's exactly what I was praying over. But I literally saw an open vision in front of me of this team working this out. They were uncovering darkness and fraud, waste, and abuse and extracting it while at the same time putting barriers in place to protect us in the future. Retained and contained, retained and constrained. But the technology of AI will indeed advance. AI is not the Antichrist, as I said last week, but AI in its AGI, or which we're not there yet, but that's artificial general intelligence form, or its very advanced state of ASI, which is artificial super intelligence. And it's likely in this state that it'll be used by the Antichrist to deceive the masses. Even now, we see great cause for concern because AI is in the open through ChatGPT and other AI learning-based open programs like it. It's been programmed to learn, or rather analyze algorithms from humanity. Every 5.1 months, it doubles its intelligence. That's really quick. That's really quick. In the hands of men, we see a perversion of reality. And I talked about this some last week, but I want to come back to it because I think this is also important. We know that explicit content is being created by this type of AI. We see a great expansion of deviant and nefarious material online using AI, such as, you know, pornography and videos that are horrific in nature. It may or may not be true. And that part of that is dangerous. Part of it is because the visual, no one should be seeing that. Part of that is some of it that's happening out there is real. And so knowing which is which and how to target to protect and rescue those children, it's very important. So it's misleading, if you will. The AI hit pieces, and this, again, is the one I really addressed last week. With three AI-driven software programs, it uses facial recognition, voice recognition, and one that compiles and creates it into a video format. You can essentially make a hit piece about anyone. I told you about the one I saw about Kenneth Copeland. Well, that was a deep fake video. That's what they call it, deep fake. And it's now marked private. You can't go see it anymore because it's been found out. There's actually software to determine if something is real or not real. Teachers use it today to find out if a student used ChatGPT to write the essay they were assigned. They upload it into a software teachers have to determine that. AI in the church. A church in Finland planned an entire service using AI, from the music, the lyrics, and the message. The AI generated the messenger, the messenger, like the pastor that was to deliver the message. This happened in Germany with a Baptist convention as well last year or 2 years ago. No, it was 2023, sorry. It's been developed and installed also in a Swiss confessional, and this is done in the format of an AI Jesus. You go into the confessional and you confess your sins to a computer. It responds with a perceived voice and appearance of Jesus. Now, as I just read, Christ is the head of the church, not AI. So our pursuit of him gives way to the messages that our congregations need to hear. Our pursuit of him. So what do? The church, like I keep saying, and I will keep saying, is the restrainer of any evil that may come. We're called to be the watchmen of our city, our state, and our nation. This includes every aspect of life, from academia to the media, farming to finance, religion to crimes against humanity, politicians to the legislation they seek to pass. The church is called to restrain the evil therein. More importantly, we're called to release the kingdom of heaven into the realms that God has given us charge over. The more we release God's kingdom, the greater the pushback on the enemy's camp. That's why one of the many reasons why the call for revival is so important in this hour, because it is going to push this back. And I would add here that if we as individuals are willing to press into the kingdom of God, the greater our collective discernment levels will be within the body of Christ. And the outcry that should come from the church over these things I've talked about will arise. Together we can push back what the enemy has planned. So how do we do this? And this is going to be my primary focus, because I believe God has given us answers. How do we push back? How does the church respond to AI? First and foremost, as pastors and church leaders, the church must prevent this stuff from entering our houses of worship. I want to clearly state, even though pastors are using, I'm not saying all pastors, please know that, but even though they are using ChatGPT to write their sermons and get their outlines, they should not enter their topic and ask ChatGPT to write an article, a book, or a sermon for them. There's no spirit there. There's no content that is going to be good or interesting to their congregation. In fact, their congregation will not receive the food it needs because it will not be something that's been prayed over by its shepherd. And as such, it will lack anointing. It will lack attributes that strengthen and equip that congregation for the week. And it will not effectively teach that congregation how to be a watchman on the wall or a restrainer of the evil that is approaching. Remember what I said last week about that quick slide from the tide button to, having Alexa in our homes? It begins because pastors are tired or burnt out, and it seems convenient. But it ends with AI Jesus in a confessional. How many more? How many more AI Jesuses will be put in confessionals around the world? And you say, well, that's the Catholic Church. They're already, you know, there's already deception there. That doesn't make it okay. What about the young people that go into that confessional that can't reason this out? What about them? What about the impact on them? You know, I'm concerned for the adults, yes, but what about the young people? We need to keep the house of God pure from these intrusions. If Jesus were walking this earth, he would fashion a cord of whips from those power cords and the USB cords, and he would chase the tech crew right out of that church. Would he not? My Father's house shall be a house of prayer. It needs to be a place where pastors deliver a message they diligently prepared after seeking God to find out from him what their congregation is needing in this hour. It's not imagined prayer. It's not imagined sermons. It's not imagined music. It's none of that. It's a time of pure prayer, higher levels of worship, and teaching from the Word of God to enable that flock to make it out there in the world of technology that draws them away from God every second of every day. The church should be a place of refuge from the world and its ways. We cannot achieve this place of refuge through technology. It must be achieved through prayer and revelation of his truth found only in his word. Second, we should be speaking to our congregations about AI and its impact today. And I think a lot of times we don't do this because we don't understand it, or we're trying to figure out what angle to come from. And I think it's important that pastors warn their congregation, caution them at the very least, and teach them the importance of pulling themselves into God instead of being distracted and led astray by technology. Remember that ChatGPT response that I read 2 weeks ago? You know, if you, ChatGPT, if you were the devil, how would you pull Christians away from God without them knowing it? Among the list, distraction, cause fear, give them a sense of self-sufficiency, create division among them, create strife, and create an illusion of morality without God. All of those things were on that list. It reminded me of C.S. Lewis's Screwtape letters, and I don't know if you're old enough for those, but Paul Harvey's If I Were the Devil, he was on 60 Minutes many years ago, and he did a great spiel called If I Were the Devil, and it really says very much the same thing. It should alarm us and compel us to seek answers to help our flock avoid these pitfalls. Technology is designed to shut off the channel to God. And we have to pull ourselves away from it and turn our dependency and mental skills to function with God as much as possible. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, we have the mind of Christ to be guided by his thoughts and purposes. Are our thoughts guided by his thoughts and purposes? Do we reflect someone who has the mind of Christ? That should, you know, I would add that to my prayer every day. Lord, let me have the mind of Christ. Lord, help my thoughts and my purposes to be guided by you. That's really a promise from him. And we've got to learn to apply that promise. We've got to learn to not just rely on that, but apply it and put it into practice in our daily lives. Where do we find his thoughts? How do we put his thoughts into practice? Where are the thoughts of Jesus located? In his word. In his word. Third, and I know this can be, you know, especially after everything I've said, but the church really should be praying into this. We need to be praying for young Christians who are interested in mathematics and science to arise and begin developing and demanding restraints for this field to keep it at bay. This is what Elon Musk is working on, AI with restraints. It's what he uses and it's what he's working on. AI that benefits mankind, but it's incapable of crossing the line into consciousness. I watched video after video after video, testimony after testimony of him in front of Congress begging them to put restraints on the creators of AI. Begging them. He said, you don't know the dangers of this going into the open. Consistently trying to warn them. We need mathematicians. We need scientists. We need this. But we need people, God-fearing men and women, who will counteract what's being done by those that do not fear God. Fourth, the church needs to be educated. Just like all issues facing the nation, we are charged with guarding. We need to stop being so afraid that technology is the Antichrist and really read Revelations. And then we've got to learn about the issues swirling around our young people. And we wonder why we have these generation gaps or sound ignorant to our children, because we say one thing, they say another. But if we bring truth to them, if we bring truth from God's word, trusting that they're hungry for that truth, it's going to break barriers that surround them. You know, the last 4 years, 8 years really, we've seen such a corruption of truth. And everybody just touts it. No, that's not my truth. I've got my truth. You have your truth, but I have my truth. Truth is truth. Truth is truth. And when we give young people truth, it breaks through the barriers that stand between us. Even if they don't immediately receive it, that truth will begin to work on their hearts and minds. And we can't be afraid to release that truth to them. How do I put this? Our young people, you know, sometimes we kind of chuckle at the everybody gets a trophy generation, and you know that they don't know how to stand in the face of real adversity and on. But I'm telling you, technology has sucked our children in to a false reality. And truth is the only thing that is going to set them free. Our young people have entered this realm and they're very comfortable with it. We just were amazed at how quickly they pick it up. But the problem with that is that for our young people, you know, studies have shown this, that the frontal lobe of the brain, which is responsible for executive functions like decision-making and planning and inhibitory in things that control your inhibitions, you know, it continues to develop into the mid-20s. And this period of development is crucial for shaping one's personality, their decision-making abilities, and their behaviors. So if young people are so immersed in technology that the line between reality and that artificial or alternate reality starts to get blurred. And so the reason I say we've got to be willing to talk to our young people, we've got to be willing to educate ourselves enough to talk with them, and we've got to speak the truth to them is because if the church bows out of the tech and AI conversations and decides to live a life wherein we're just not seeking to understand it so we can influence them in terms of this and teach our young people the danger, teach our young people how to discern truth from fiction, they will continue to live in a cloud of deception. And I know that's not what we want. We're their watchmen. But we've got to also be their teacher and their anchor in this very chaotic and really constantly shifting season. When I was preparing for this, I came across a school that's in Texas. And it's run by AI Tutor. It's called AI Tutor. And the academic portion of this school is gamified math, English, and history languages lessons. And then it uses eye tracking. And that AI software monitors through machine learning and then adjusts each student's academic lessons individually to maintain interest and help them succeed. The school says that they have a 90% or higher in their test scores nationwide. There's no teachers, only supervisors. There's 2 hours worth of academic lessons per day. They make robots and they learn to cook. They rock climb. They develop and fly drones, kites. They run an Airbnb. They develop apps and they learn to put IKEA furniture together. They engage in art and so on. The goal is to educate them and develop life skills. Now, the parents who send their kids here are paying $40,000 a year to send their kids to the school. And these children, from the age of 5 all the way up to 18, have AI as their teacher. Now, I don't know about you, but some of my most impressionable mentors in my life have been teachers. I remember my fifth grade teacher, Mr. Boyd. He was my favorite teacher. And he challenged us all to excel at everything, that we were all capable of excelling. And he worked us through 2 years or 3 years of English and math and vocab. Every person in the class completed at least 2 years of those things because he encouraged us. I will never forget him as long as I live. He imprinted on my life, that I could do anything I put my mind to. Now, my mom was a wonderful encourager, but this is an outside source reinforcing what my mom said. Now, these kids, young, impressionable minds, are where? In front of a computer that's encouraging them, a computer that is adjusting their learning based on eye contact, AI-generated models to educate them. I agree with all of the other skills they're teaching these children. We should teach children to cook. We should teach them how to put furniture together. We should teach them life skills. I do not agree with removing a teacher from the school and installing computers instead. And those students, in spite of all the other, where are they getting their greatest educational impartation? A computer. And that is what will stick with them their whole lives. If they need to learn something, if they need to figure out how to analyze something, they're going to go to the computer. They're not going to talk to somebody. And in a time when we are in a nationwide shortage of teachers, this is not as far off as we think it is. Those parents are paying $40,000 a year for each child. But that is a model, a type for what they will ultimately release down, you know, to the poorer folks. Like you and me. That's why the church must recognize our place in this nation. That's why we must recognize that Christ is the head. We are the body. And for as long as humanly possible, we must restrain the evil trying to captivate the minds of our children. The evil trying to captivate their attention and draw them away, because that technology is designed, all technology. This isn't just AI learning. This is not just our phones. All computers, all technology is designed to slowly and surely peel you away from God. That's the intention of the enemy. And when you look at some of the founders, like Bill Gates, he doesn't talk much about his AI contributions and his robotics. But he is a forerunner in the field. And what did he do during COVID? Oh, he sought to vaccinate the world. Finally, and I'll close with this. We need to pray for those restraints to be activated in greater measure than even those programmers understand. When we consider the potential of AI and technology as a whole, we really should be concerned and pray for restraints. We've got to refuse to allow fear to enter, because if we can't engage in faith when we are responding in fear. Because faith and fear are opposites. Our faith really should not be shaken because AI is on the scene. But if we, the church, will diligently pursue, like I said at the beginning, if we will diligently pursue our God, our Creator, with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, with all of our souls, we can push back the enemy's plan. and his encroachment into our homes, his encroachment into our churches, his encroachment into our schools, his encroachment into our nation. We need to pray for discernment, like I said, every single day. Paul, as he prayed this, prayed for the Ephesians to rise above the cultural differences and the chaos and the religious confusion and so on. And he asked God to open the eyes of their understanding so that God might bring forth his revelation, his wisdom, and his knowledge into their hearts. It's through that lens that God gives us what we need to work out our salvation. It's not what we see in front of us, but rather fearing that we might fail to do what God has called us to do. Look at what we've gone through over the last 8 years alone. Look at the fight that we had to get President Trump into office, keep him in office. Look at the fraud that they did, and look at how we had to fight to keep our nation from being completely devastated under a Biden regime and keep President Trump alive to get elected again. And now look at the praise reports that we're having read to us every single week. I remember when Daryl first took over from John, and he was saying, I'm really having a hard time finding good news. I remember John really digging deep to find good news. I remember those days. And now, Daryl's got a desk full of good news. And he's got to filter through what is the most relevant and today good news that he can bring us. Because there's so much. Why? Because we prayed. God hears and answers our prayer. And I believe if we will engage, he will do the same thing in terms of technology, in terms of AI, and whatever else the enemy has in the near future. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for our time together. I thank you, Lord God, for this message. And I pray, Lord God, that it will be a benefit and it will help believers. It will help the intercessors glean from some of this stuff to protect themselves, their families, to engage and work with their congregations at their church. And Lord God, that together we can work to restrain this and protect our children. Our church and our children, the priority . Help us, Lord God, to be the watchman, to stand on the wall and protect them both. In your precious name, amen. Now, before I hand this over to Daryl, I am going through a Christian. He's a mathematician, and he sat under C.S. Lewis. He teaches himself. He teaches at Oxford. He's a very strong believer, and he's written a really great book about AI, and I'm going through it. So I'll probably go through that and bring another message in the days ahead, trying to incorporate things to help us pray more effectively, not be fearful, but pray effectively against this intrusion into our lives and, you know, protect our church and our children. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Ricky?
Yes.
Ricky, Mom. Honey, why don't you give us the name of that book?
Oh, yeah. It's called, oh my goodness. Now you got me on the spot. It's called 2020, it's 2084. He was challenged by one of his colleagues. He said, based on the information, he said, you should call this 2084 after 1984. And the AI revolution, 2084 in the AI revolution. He has an updated version. His name is John Lennox. And you can actually find him. He speaks on this online. That's how I discovered him. I was doing research on this and I came across him. And what a refreshing, highly educated burst of light in the midst of a lot of darkness when you start reviewing AI stuff. So, John Lennox, and it's 2084 in the AI revolution. All right. Thank you, Mom.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. That was really good, honey. Thank you. Okay, Daryl.
Yes, thank you, Ricky. That was a great message on a very important end time topic. And I'm sure that many people don't hear about that subject, but we definitely need it. So thank you for bringing that. And now Nita is going to worship God and pray for Israel. Thank you, Nita.
Thank you, Daryl. I'd like to say one more thing that doesn't alter anything that Ricky said. It just adds emphasis to one of the things that she said. And it also, I'd like to explain about the mind of Christ. There is a promise that we can have the mind of Christ, but you cannot have it if the Lord doesn't impart that to you. It's not something you can create. And you don't know that unless you have walked through the boot camp, if you will, that I have walked through with the Lord, telling me things that the Bible says, but from God's perspective, who really wrote the Bible, right? And has caused me to jump over things that the church teaches a lot. If you don't have a prayer life, and you don't have a word life, you will never receive those things. Because if you don't honor and respect the word enough to chase after it by sitting at the feet of Jesus until you start receiving these beautiful nuggets of understanding, he just will not give them to you. But the main reason he will not give them to you is because he has to change the worldliness in you, the nature of the world that lives within the Christian. He has to change it, he has to eradicate it, abort it, and alter, and many times by aborting or eradicating other things inside of us so that he can put the divine part in its place. And one of those things is the mind. He has in heaven a mind that he is soon going to put into Donald Trump. And that mind is a mind created by God to give Donald Trump a genius in strategy more than he's already walking in. The other mind that he has available, and there may be many other minds that work in conjunction of the world, but from God's perspective, but the mind that he is giving, for instance, to me, is called the mind of Christ. And that mind is wholly spiritual and is designed for you to know and understand God and the kingdom and the Bible from his perspective, as though you were walking with Jesus every day. But he's the only one that can give that to you. You can't, for instance, get up in the morning and say, well, I've done this long enough and I'm just going to believe I've got the mind of Christ and I'll go do it. Because that's not how you get it. So I've never sat down and talked to Ricky about this, so I understand why she taught what she taught. She taught what everybody else is teaching. But it isn't accurate. And I'll sit down and talk to her, I promise, so that she can understand. As you know, as you can tell, she's very intelligent, so she'll understand quickly. And then we will, little by little, try this year in 2025 to help you more and more understand these two levels of mind. The mind of the spirit sits on one side of the head, the mind that will help you move about in the thought of the world, but from God's perspective, sits on the other side of the brain. It's really phenomenal. He has talked to me about it a lot. So you pray the same. You don't pray different, but you know it's important to understand that how you're going to get it is what will be different. And the other thing that I wanted to add, if I can remember it now, well, if I can remember it through the night, I'll give it to you in my last prayer point. It was important, but not nearly as important as what I just shared with you. She did a tremendous job in bringing forth her subject, and I'm very proud of her. And I'm thankful that she's done this for you. I just wanted to make that one correction. Okay.